Should biological males who identify as females be allowed to compete against biological females when there are costly scholarships at stake? Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is Terry Schilling, who is the executive director of the American Principles Project. Their website, by the way, is AmericanPrinciplesProject.org. And it is great to have you back on again, Terry Schilling. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jerry. I always love talking with you.
Okay, so the Congress passed many, many years ago something called Title IX, and it allowed for women's sports, you know, women to have a more equal playing field, if you will. Set that for us, and what happened in Connecticut in 2017, changing the rules in effect?
Yeah, so, you're exactly right. Part of civil rights law was creating Title IX, which the goal of that was to give women equal opportunities when it comes to education and everything that goes with that, including athletics. And what we've seen in the recent years is recently, I mean, it's been going on for a while, but in 2017, the state of Connecticut changed their rules to allow for biological men who identify as women to compete in women's athletics against women. And the reason that this is important is because biological sex has been something that the Supreme Court and our constitutional law has always allowed for us to create separate classes for, simply because there are obvious biological differences between men and women. And the reason that these laws, these gender identity laws, as they're called, matter is because they're erasing these types of protections on the basis of sex. So they're basically, they're taking away women's right to private spaces that are segregated by sex. They're taking away women's athletics. They're even taking away battered women's shelters. This notion that women who suffer violent abuse have a safe refuge to go that's away from men. They're taking away that, and they're allowing men who claim to be women to enter these spaces and compete against them in sports, and it's completely unfair.
Huh. Okay, now what would you say to those who would accuse you of bigotry because of your views as just stated?
I don't think that this is any more bigoted besides acknowledging that there are different colors out there and that there are different realities. I'm sorry, not different realities, but that there is a reality to the differences between men and women. Look, on science tells us what the reality is, and that's that on average, men are taller. They have more muscle mass, their bone density is thicker, and they're more athletic on average. Women, on the other hand, are typically shorter and have less muscle mass. And these protections are actually in law for the benefit of women. You know, one of the weird things about being involved in this space is that you get to partner with a lot of non-traditional groups that I typically wouldn't work with, like the National Women's Liberation Front. This is a group of radical feminists who are very concerned about these gender identity laws because they're erasing the protections on the basis of sex.
That's interesting. They would probably disagree with you if you brought up the issue of abortion or something like that. But when it comes to this, they're one with you. That's interesting. Tell us about a recent lawsuit by some of the girls who are trying to fight back in order, because frankly, there's serious money at stake and futures and so forth, because there's valuable scholarship dollars at risk.
Right. Jerry, look, I have two young daughters. One's 14 and the other one's 8. And I'm really hoping that they're able to have a level playing field when it comes to competing in their own athletics, so they can get a, you know, chance at a scholarship or get a chance at, you know, winning a competition and not having to compete against men. But what happened in Connecticut is really tragic. You have two boys at different schools, actually, who started identifying as women, and they allowed them to compete in women's athletic women's track competitions. Well, luckily for us in the conservative movement, we have an amazing litigation arm that does all this for free. They run on donations. Their name is Alliance Defending Freedom. Alliance Defending Freedom is actually defending three young women in high school who have worked very hard to train and to run at the top of their game, who have been shut out of these athletic competitions. They're suing the state. And they're suing the schools to protect women's athletics from boys who identify as girls. And I will be shocked if they end up losing this case, to be quite frank.
You know, it's interesting that you bring up the Alliance Defending Freedom because that was founded about 25 or so years ago. And one of the key founders was the man that founded this radio station. He has gone on to glory and so forth. His name is Dr. D. James Kennedy, but he founded that group with Dr. James Dobson and Marlon Maddox and a handful of other men, Larry Burkett and so forth, Bill Bright. And so it's very exciting that that they're doing that. Now, is their main point that the biological differences for the male, you know, basically just gives them advantages? And I think I've made this point before in a previous discussion, but I have participated, I'm not fast at all, but in many different runs, 5Ks, 10Ks, even many half marathons, and I've never seen a woman win first place, I mean, with a man, you know, compared to a man. I mean, obviously, they have different categories for race and gender and age, not for race, but for gender and age based on how fast you are. But I've never seen a woman. I mean, I'm not trying to be discriminatory. That's just the reality of what I've seen.
Well, no, that's exactly right. And for the people that have been following this case, it's very funny. Not funny, but it's tragic. It's interesting. This first happened, it was just one boy. And he left the men's track team and joined the women's track team. And he just started crushing it. He won every competition that he competed in up until the fourth competition where he finally lost to another man who identifies as a woman.
Wow.
It's just absolutely incredible. And they're not just beating these women by like half a second. They're clearing the field. You should see these races. It would be more comical if it wasn't so tragic. It's really unfortunate that we're allowing this radical special interest group who's trying to change humanity, yeah, and erase gender and sex. But we're letting them get away with erasing every single protection we've ever come up with on the basis of sex.
And the interesting thing, too, biologically, it's my understanding that, you know, trillions of your cells within each body have indicators whether you are male or female. I mean, it's just a biological reality.
That's exactly right. Every single thing about you, every cell in your body has, you know, either an XX chromosome or an XY chromosome. It's not just what clothing you wear or if you wear makeup. Your biology, your biological sex it's rooted to your entire body. And there's no changing that ever, regardless of the amount of surgery or the different types of clothing you wear.
Okay, comment on the goal here of those who advocate for gender fluidity. What's the goal?
Well, this is actually very interesting. So one of the premier academics who started this transgender movement is a woman named Dr. Judith Butler. And what she did was she's from the University of Southern California at Berkeley. And her goal, as she stated, is that she wanted to use gender in order to destroy gender. So these radical left-wingers, they actually think that the different genders that we have, by acknowledging women and men and the biological realities, that it's actually keeping women back. When in reality, you know, if you talk to the women from the radical feminists from the Women's Liberation Front, they explain this very simply in that the segregated private spaces like bathrooms and locker rooms and showers, those were actually a huge victory for the early feminists, because what was happening is women weren't able to enter into the workforce because they didn't have their own restrooms, they didn't have their own showers and their own places to change. They didn't feel safe out in public. And so women not only wouldn't go to work, they wouldn't go out in public because if they had to use the restroom, they didn't want to take a chance at being in a restroom with another man and having to change and then being seen indecently. And what these radical gender activists are doing is they are trying to erase every protection that we have on the books for men and women based on their biological sex. It's so radical and it's so alarming. We should really be fighting this at every chance we get.
Now, one thing that's quite disturbing, just looking at this whole, you know, movement and so forth, there have been a lot of lawsuits, and it seems so far the people who don't agree with the transgender, you know, agenda have lost. So, for example, I can think of a case in Palatine, Illinois, which is the greater Chicago area. 50 families got together and, you know, fought against a this boy that said he was a girl or identified as a girl and wanted to go into the girls' locker room. The parents didn't want that. The children didn't want that. But that student won against all those other people. And the same, there was something similar, maybe, in, you know, not on the same level, but in Virginia. And again, the transgender side won. There was a professor, a Christian professor, who didn't want to use the, you know, the gender, you know, the pronouns or whatever. He didn't want to use the politically correct pronouns, and he lost. So comment on that. That's a disturbing trend.
Well, the reason that the left-winger gender activists are getting away with this is because they aren't afraid of people like you and I who totally disagree and have a different worldview. And the reason that they're not afraid of us is because families like ours are not actively engaged or organized in politics. Sure, we'll show up at the polls and we'll vote on election day and we might even knock a few doors. But the vast majority of people who agree with us on the notion that there is one or two genders, one man and one woman, they are not politically engaged and active. What we really need to do is what my organization, American Principles Project, is trying to do, which is to organize families and engage them in campaigns and elections to make sure that when these politicians at the school board and the federal level and the state level, when they betray us and they put boys in our locker rooms or fire our friends because they don't acknowledge 57,000 genders, that there will be a political consequence. That's the only thing that these people respond to. What we need is an organization that, just like the NRA, for example, just how the NRA organizes gun owners to fight for their rights and represent themselves in our political system, We need an organization that does that for families, that tells them where to vote, which races to get involved in, keeps them updated on who to vote for and who are our allies when it comes to these gender issues. Until we build something like that and actually get it off the ground, we're going to continue to get pummeled because the left is doing this every single day.
Okay, we have about a minute left. Is there anything else you want to say about the whole transgender issue that hasn't been said?
Yeah, it's a radical movement, as your listeners I'm sure know, and they are coming for our kids. Everything that they're doing, you know, we all believe that, you know, grown adults should be able to live as they, you know, as they choose for the most part. But what these people are doing is so egregious because they're coming after our kids, whether it's drag queen story hour or transgender bathrooms or transgender sports. They're trying to brainwash our kids into erasing gender from what they acknowledge is real. And it's such a dangerous world to think about because it's a world where women are no longer protected by our laws. And we need to fight it every day. We need to organize, we need to get engaged, and we need to fight back against this monstrosity.
Wow. Okay, Terry Schilling, thanks so much for being with us. Terry Schilling, the executive director of the American Principles Project. And their organization is .org at the end. Yeah, thank you, Terry. All the best.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.